Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our guest speaker is Dr. Stefan Jones, president and CEO of a leading healthcare community called Innova Health System. Dr. Jones is a board-certified urologist and has been working at Cleveland Clinic before joining Innova. Innova is a world-class healthcare and a leading nonprofit in Commonwealth of Virginia and Washington, D.C. region. U.S. News report, Innova Fairfax Hospital number one in two consecutive years, and Dr. Jones has received many awards for his leadership. I have to mention that I recently interviewed five of Innova Hospital's thought leaders for IOC white paper as a fellow. The paper was published last year, and you can find it on our website and IOC website called Leading with Humanity as a Resource. We are grateful to their contribution, and I admit that I saved the best for the last. The leaders of Innova leaders, especially for our podcast today, having Dr. Jones with us is an honor and pleasure and learning opportunity for all to discuss healthcare, leadership, and coaching accordingly. Dr. Jones, welcome to our podcast.
I very much appreciate being involved.
Thank you so much for being here. I usually ask our speakers to introduce themselves and to let us know how our listeners, you know, should know them. What do you like the world to know about you and your journey?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I am a surgeon, a urologic oncology surgeon. I tend to sometimes say by birth. It's so much a part of who I am. I obviously now don't get to get into the operating room nearly as much as I used to, even 5 years ago when I first came to Innova, because of all the things that we have going on. But I still very much value it and identify myself first and foremost as a surgeon. You had asked me to comment on my own leadership journey, and I'll tell you, it was relatively unintentional. I was raised in a small town on a farm in Arkansas. And candidly, one of the places where a kid who was good in science and liked people could go to find a way out was frankly through medicine. And so I was fortunate to fall into that field. And my leadership journey was often just a matter of, as has been said before, a matter of showing up. When there were responsibilities to be taken on, I was willing to take them on. And when you do that, of course, you get asked to do even more things. I did eventually seek some intentional leadership training through getting an MBA, and certainly have been a beneficiary of leadership coaching myself.
Wow, such a wonderful, inspiring journey. And that little boy, you know, in our council never knew that how it's going to be the future evolved for him and what the, you know, universe and destiny has planned for us. Dr. Jones, you probably have had different experience of coaching during your journey of leadership. What do you think the coaching approaches contributed to a better understanding of physicians' personality styles and their leadership styles, and impacting physician feelings of relatedness, emotional competence, and intrinsic motivations to enable a sustainable and favorable change for them?
I think the real key with a question on coaching, leadership coaching, involves why is one having coaching. I will observe that often we utilize coaching because someone's having problems and challenges, and we try to coach them out of that. And I will acknowledge that that's probably not the place where I find coaching to be the most beneficial or successful, because if someone has performance challenges or personality challenges for that matter, it's sometimes pretty challenging to fix it. Not that it can't be done, but that's hard. As opposed to where I tend to think that the most significant role of leadership coaching, at least in healthcare, is on people who have a high potential or showing potential to do more than wherever they are in their career journey. And coaching them into being able to do more to have a bigger impact. And, you know, you as the expert, of course, know many of the ways that you do that. But I find that the real key is if you're doing it for the right reasons to help foster growth, I find that just getting the right coach and mentee, if that's the right word, relationship is really the key thing, because what might work for me and what might work for you or any other person may or may not be the successful match. I think a lot at that point becomes the actual match. I will acknowledge I had several opportunities. One was during some education, somewhere after I came to Inova, but the most successful was with working with a woman that I developed a good working relationship with, and she was able to push me hard. She could call BS when I was whining or saying that things were too hard or that I couldn't fix some of the things that I wanted to deal with, and having that respectful relationship to where, and when I say respectful, a relationship based on respect, mm-hmm. is that she could push me in ways that, a friend or family probably could not have.
Yeah, exactly. The coaches are the mirror of the clients. And as you mentioned, so just waiting for the problem to arise, maybe it's too late. I have a son that is a resident, actually, and the last year of the residency. And I was just thinking how early is good enough to start the leadership journey, introducing, for the medical students or the residents and fellows. So the earlier, the better, the journey of the growth. And what do you think and what do you perceive the most effective vehicle to use in the development of the physicians' leaders can be?
I think the most effective would be the right work environment in which that physician was surrounded by others who would make them better and surrounded by opportunities to grow our own leadership journey. I think I would actually go back to the basics of I strongly believe that every physician is a leader. That doesn't mean that they have an official position and that they have a title or responsibilities for job performance. But, in the clinical setting, we naturally lead, whether we are surgeons, cognitive physicians, physicians in the lab. The bottom line is we're always in a leading position. But unfortunately, we're not given those tools early. You mentioned, having a child who's in training, probably not being intentionally given those tools. We're kind of thrown into it. Mm-hmm. So I think that the environment in which people care about the development of others around them, and the reason that I think people will do what's in their best interest, let's face it, that's a human characteristic. If we're around others who think it's in their best interest to have development of those around them, then that's an environment that will foster that. And then obviously give opportunities and give feedback with physicians. You, by the way, I think have to be more direct than you sometimes have to do with non-physicians as an observation of mine. And then finally, when we see physicians who really have the ability to become, significant titled leaders with major responsibilities for other people's success, then to put things around them, whether they be formal education or, to your point, leadership coaching, hopefully not to correct things, but to grow what's actually there.
Yeah, and I love it the way you put it, that every physician is a leader. I'm going farther, that all human beings are the leader of themselves. So we have to be able to lead ourselves first, so to be able to lead others. And I think physicians and, healthcare professionals has this more responsibility, just not only to lead themselves and coach themselves first, but also the surrounding around them. And as you mentioned, how important is the culture of organization, which I admire Inova for that to be the culture of the growth and connectedness. And given the healthcare operational and contextual diversity, how do doctors are expected to lead? What competencies and developmental models will help them to get there?
It goes back a little bit to environment. I think you learn way more in your day-to-day environment than you do by taking a class or reading something specific. So I think that's got to be the most important is that in that day-to-day that we as physicians are given the opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives, and I don't mean just our patients, but those around us, and given feedback. So the ideal would be when those other physicians around us or non-physicians who have respected places around us would be able to give us feedback so that as they give us other opportunities. So I mentioned, you know, for example, early in my career, you know, first thing I was asked to do is to start a laser committee because I was the new resident who had come out and was the only one in the hospital that was trained on some of the lasers we were using at that point. So given that opportunity, but then people around me helping me see what was working and what wasn't. And so if I was trying to get everybody to align to something with no tools, then the likelihood I could get everybody to see that this, you know, the young kid, probably the youngest person on the team had something to offer was a high bar. But when others around me could help me, you know, develop competency in communication, in clarity, in making a case, in developing respect and making communications with other people, those competencies, when given to me at work more than in a formal training setting, were the ones that I thought were most important. And then when you get to senior levels, yes, then you do need clearly specific competency development. Some of course, the financial and other skills, but really it's the leadership skills that are so hard to just kind of read about and make happen. You need feedback so that you can develop those crucial conversations, for example, as a competency, or influencing people or communicating in a crisp and effective way. Those competencies you need some formal help with as you get into higher levels of formal leadership.
Wow. So the higher it gets, the more challenging it becomes, as I know. So
no doubt.
Yeah. Do you see any expanding investments, you know, on the current limited developmental opportunities for physicians with all that we said, that how important this is to start this early in a journey of becoming, you know, a physician leader?
Yeah, I think that's hard to, it's probably going to depend on the context and depend on the potential for those physicians. You know, for example, we've got a great program that you're familiar with here in the Inova Health System, in which we had physicians recognize the desire to develop their unique talents as leaders as compared to, you know, the non-physician leaders, which may or may not have total overlap. You know, so, you know, Dr. Warren Levy started a program and involved multiple other people in developing competencies intentionally for physician leaders and doing capstone projects so that they then ended up having, you know, real work come out of that and show that with intentional work, with intentional leadership development, you can actually make things happen. And then when you see it in that setting, you can take it back to your own individual clinical areas and then start making things happen. And so for us, it'll be to continue programs like that, bringing in people who know about leadership, working with various organizations, you know, whether it be with coaching or teaching competencies, you know, that partnering with others, I think is going to be a key part, at least for Inova. You see some organizations that, you know, kind of start schools down this line and try to start programs that I think end up being hard to sustain. So I think it's key with any of those, the investments you make not be a one-time thing, but know that whatever you do is sustainable. Otherwise, you can make a big investment, you get a big splash, and then nothing comes out of it. That can be disheartening and a waste of resources, of course.
Yeah, that was a really good point that you brought up. And definitely Inova is a role model, you know, for other healthcare system that, and in the community and in the country. And we are looking forward and watching that how this movement is growing at Inova. But what do you think about our model, MCCG suggestive model of coaching residents and fellow medical students or nurses or physician leaders as a part of their CME continuous medical education? So because we know physicians are busy, they don't have time for it. So can we just create like a coaching, you know, crash course coaching that be credited as their CME? Is it going to be, to your opinion, a successful model? If not, do you have any practical model in mind for the coaching for healthcare professionals?
That's probably the place where I don't bring the expertise into it as to knowing the specifics on that. So with the individual interactions, I have a lot of experience, but won't tell you that I think that I've got the right answers on a programmatic level down that line.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. Just knowing, just this is a personal question maybe, that the leadership is a lonely journey. We all know that. So what has helped you the most in your journey of becoming to be the one of the top, you know, healthcare leaders? What is the one thing that leaders should remember during the challenging journey of their leadership?
I hate to take it down to one. I know that's the question is posed. I would say that if I had to choose one, then I would leave out what is probably equally important, which is your relationships. It's that health of your own health. You know, as the saying is, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first before you try to help others. Yeah. So through your family relationships, your personal relationships, your work relationships, and there's a lot of overlap in those, of course, that's really key. And I think almost as important, if you made me only go down to one to the specifics of your question, it would relate to why do you want to lead? And I will acknowledge that I see some physicians who decide they want to get into, quote, management, which I would prefer to think of as leadership, who they're not as engaged in clinical care and whatever their professional responsibilities are. And they're running away from something because of how things have been, you know, progressively here, not just in the last 3 years during the COVID and other crises, but, you know, progressively over time. That's a highly unsuccessful model for becoming a physician leader, you know, but I think it goes into the why. You know, if you want to make a difference in your organization, if you want to make a difference in your community, if you want to help others around you be better versions of themselves because you have something to offer them to help them grow and help them achieve things that they might not have done without you, then that why will drive you. Because leadership, you said it's lonely, it's hard. I always tease that the titles are cool, but the work is really hard. And, you know, in those moments where you know that it's harder than you think you can do, if you've got those relationships that make you know your place in the world, and if you know the why of why you're doing the work that you're trying to do, it'll help you go over all those bumps that I promise you will be there and it'll help you know that across that bump is always a great reward because of the impact that you get to make because you care.
Yeah, definitely. Our whys are keeping us going. And I appreciate that you really brought that point out. And we are very grateful for the opportunity and having you here today. And just last question is that what is your recommendation for the coaches and the coaching community? What should we do better or more?
I think, again, go back to making sure that we don't get too caught up in trying to fix problems, as opposed to where I think we can make more difference, which is to grow the strengths. You know, I'm sure familiar with the Gallup model of, you know, strengths-based leadership and strengths-based development. I believe in that. You know, I'll never be 6'8" and a great basketball player, so I don't try. But I can indeed be a better healthcare leader if I spend my time and focus on doing that. And so to the coaching community, to make sure that we know where that focus is. And then second of all, to remember that physicians are indeed different. And that's easy to say, but you know, what do I mean by that? You know, we don't get in the workforce as early in life as most other careers do. And we come out, you know, most of us in debt, and most of us have not been given the opportunities to grow in an organization like people who are in non-physician areas. Okay, well, those are downsides, but it also means that we learned a lot, we developed some strength, we developed some resilience, and that our coaching focus on knowing that we're coaching a physician, which is usually a little bit different than coaching a non-physician.
Yeah, I can really relate to that how difficult it is, you know, for the physician to make time for this journey of growth and for the leader, exactly. And thank you so much, Dr. Jones, for your valuable time and for your wisdom and contributing to our cause and conscious coaching movement. And I wish you the best and have a wonderful days ahead of you.
Thank you so much. I very much appreciate all that you and your colleagues do for our community.
Same here. Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.